Isla Crown's story continues in a breathtaking dance between darkness and light. After breaking the centuries-old curses that plagued the six realms, she now faces an even greater challenge, understanding her own mysterious identity. When she discovers a hidden vault in the place of mirrors, raw power churns around her, whispering in an unknown language that resonates deep within her bones. The massive door slams shut with supernatural force, triggering a horrifying vision of bloodied bodies and darkness that speaks with Grimm's voice, begging her to return. She awakens in Oro's arms, blood streaming from her nose, ears, and eyes, a clear warning that whatever ancient force resides in that vault views her presence as an intrusion. This vault isn't merely a physical space, but symbolizes the locked portions of Isla's identity, fragments of herself she can sense but cannot access. Haven't we all felt that nagging sensation of something important just beyond our reach? Like Isla, we're drawn to these dangerous truths, even as they threaten to unravel everything we thought we knew about ourselves. As Oro helps her recover, their relationship deepens. He offers to teach her to control her abilities, despite not being a wildling master himself. Their training sessions become moments of shared vulnerability, with tension building between them like electricity before a storm. When she attempts to distract him with a kiss, he carries her to bed, only to deposit her there with firm instructions to rest, demonstrating his unwavering commitment to her well-being over his own desires. The Floating Feast unites all realms for the first time since the curses broke. Isla arrives wearing a red, metal-woven dress that feels like a sword that's more blood than blade, embodying her evolution from Cursebreaker to Ruler. Representatives debate whether their people should return to Lightlark or remain on their new lands. When questioned about the Wildling realm, Isla must admit her ignorance, revealing her insecurities. After hearing of the Starlings suffering from Marin, she agrees to become their ruler and announces her coronation, stepping into leadership despite feeling unqualified. The feast also introduces the threat of Nightshade attacks. Oro announces plans to visit all isles to address grievances and prepare defenses. Later, Isla confides in Azul, who reminds her, "You always have choices." Though ruling means prioritizing her people, highlighting her conflict between desiring freedom and accepting responsibility. Isla's coronation descends into chaos when Drex, reptilian monsters, breach Oro's fiery barriers as the island splits. When Isla touches one between its eyes, it screeches and retreats, the others following toward Nightshade. The crowd immediately accuses her of communicating with the creatures, and despite Azul's defense, Isla collapses, haunted by Grimm's words, "Come back to me." This incident forces Isla to question her identity. Why do these creatures respond to her touch? What connection does she have to Nightshade? These questions plague her as she attempts to serve both wildlings and starlings, people who now feel like strangers despite being her responsibility. In the Wildling Newland, she finds a diminished population, weak and malnourished. Despite her sense of failure, they unexpectedly bow to her, creating a painful dissonance between others' perception and her self-image, a feeling familiar to anyone celebrated for achievements that feel hollow inside. As threats mount, Isla desperately seeks to master her abilities. When rebels drag her from bed, an accidental touch unleashes a deadly power surge, revealing how uncontrolled power is merely dangerous chaos. Oro introduces her to Remlar, who had predicted her arrival. Despite Oro's protective warnings, Isla agrees to Remlar's procedure to unlock her potential. When he touches her forehead and heart, excruciating pain tears through her. Her left hand releases death-bringing darkness, while her right creates thousands of blooming flowers before she collapses. This awakening unlocks suppressed memories, including a passionate encounter with Grimshaw that ended with her stabbing him. The combination of her three powers, Wildling, Nightshade, and Starling, overwhelms her with nature's voices. Oro takes her to Wild Isle, where her abilities can do no harm, awkwardly but constantly caring for her throughout her illness. Isn't this the essence of our own growth? Learning to integrate opposing aspects of ourselves and finding those who support us through the painful process of becoming whole. As Isla's powers intensify, suppressed memories surface, revealing a complex past with Grimm that contradicts her hatred. One flashback shows her confronting him as Heart Eater after an assassination attempt, their violent encounter ending with mutual respect. Another reveals Grimm training her portal abilities. Most disturbing is a memory of Cretan's Crag, where, at Grimm's suggestion, she reluctantly uses her temptress powers, trading a ruby for a dancer's outfit and performing seductively while he watches. These memories create a psychological tug-of-war within Isla. At midnight, she portals to Wild Isle to practice creating defensive thorned plants, desperate to distract herself from memories threatening her self-perception. Back in her room, noticing her deteriorating appearance, she tries everything to remove Grimm's invisible necklace, cutting, burning, using both powers, all futilely. This necklace becomes a physical manifestation of their unbreakable connection, chains to her past that no force can break. As Grimm's attack approaches, Isla balances war preparations with Oro's training, their bond growing through shared stories. When Skylings vote on leaving Lightlark, Isla promises democratic reforms for Starlings, willing to step aside for someone more qualified. Isla discovers that using pain to fuel her magic creates immense power. She transforms the mainland with massive plant barriers and defenses. Oro finds her bleeding and confronts her about this dangerous shortcut Grimm taught her. Though she promises to stop, Isla secretly embraces this newfound control. This reveals a key difference between her mentors. Oro advocates careful balance, while Grimm embraces pain as power's pathway. Isla finds herself torn between these philosophies and the men themselves. Seeking allies, Isla recruits Vinderlin warriors after demonstrating her dual nature. She also bonds with Lynx, her mother's former companion, an enormous black leopard whose shared visions provide strength for the coming battle. As war approaches, the Oracle prophesies that Isla will kill either Oro or Grimm, both futures equally likely. This crystallizes her central conflict, her heart divided between two men representing different aspects of herself. Oro embodies light, order, and selfless love, consistently putting Isla first. "You are my favorite everything," he tells her. Grimm represents darkness, passion, and complicated love. Through recovered memories, Isla learns their relationship was far more complex than simple enmity. War erupts brutally. Oro unleashes devastating elemental attacks, while Isla commands plants against the nightshades. As victory seems near, Cleo emerges with a massive wave, fighting for her son. The battle culminates with Grimm revealing a crucial truth. If he dies, Isla dies too. They share one life. The word wife unlocks Isla's final memories, marrying Grimm and begging him to erase her memories of killing innocents. She realizes the vision showed her own atrocities, not his. "We contain multitudes, light and shadow, creation and destruction. True courage lies in facing our inner monsters."